Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of November, recording at 9:49 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Largely an uneventful day, and after yesterday's gyrations, subscribers may be grateful for that. Asian stock markets were mostly steady among the ASEAN group. An exception was the Philippines, which have pulled back into their small trading range. Japan was up, helped by the weaker yen. A little bit of softness in tiny bit of softness in Hong Kong and Australia. European stock markets, which had closed at their highs yesterday, saw some profit taking today. The biggest of those seems to be the MIB, the Italian index, down 2.4%, but most of the declines were smaller. The FTSE 100 index was down about 1%. In the Americas, we had Wall Street a little bit underwater most of the day, and then it closed on the steadier side with the S&P back up to 1218. That's up 0.44%. In bonds, long-dated government bonds weakened in Europe, but the treasuries, which had weakened early on, then steadied to close with small gains. Precious metals seesawed a bit and ended mostly unchanged, although gold was firmer, back up to 1403.60. And silver did extend its reaction, and that is currently trading at $27.22. Now, the dollar firmed early on and has then given up some of those gains. The yen is weaker against the dollar, although the dollar is stronger against the yen, but off its highs. Got up to 82.80. There's a little bit of a breakout of a trading range of 3 or 4 weeks at 82. So it got up to 82.80 and is currently trading at 82.27. What else to mention? The grain and bean complex weakness in here today. Not heavy, but a little lower across the boards. And industrial metals, which have been on quite a run recently, were all down a little bit. Interestingly, and let's see, some of the commodities even, well, I should say, why even cotton, which is the most overextended, encountered some profit-taking here today. That's quite interesting here is that crude oil, one of the few gainers, although I see lumber was also up, but crude oil closed at a new two-year high. That's the NYMEX crude at 80, currently trading at $88.03. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are relatively steady. You know, we keep talking about the possibility of reactions and consolidations, and we have seen really sort of trading range consolidations. I'm wondering when we experience the next medium-term correction within the overall upward trend, but I think that's the extent of the downside, as I've said all along. And it's not at all impossible for the markets could remain pretty steady throughout the rest of the year and move somewhat higher. Got to keep an eye on that oil price, but as I said yesterday, the shakeout in the commodity markets is actually a favorable net factor for stock markets. Okay, it weighs short term on the mining shares, which had been running up very strongly, but that's not going to break the back of the global bull cycle in here. Monetary policy remains generally accommodative, as I've said continuously. But to the extent that we're going to get commodity price inflation, and I think this is just a pause, we, when we see a setback, that clearly delays it. Investors will be less concerned about it. Central bankers will be less concerned about it. So, in my view, the medium-term downside risk for stock markets is medium-term corrections towards the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, some investors may want to lighten in anticipation of that. Others may just say, well, let's see it, and then I'll use that as a buying opportunity. That's up to the individual overall, but it's not a big risk, although mean reversion corrections are always mildly frightening because once people see them, commentators start to extrapolate them as well. But you've seen that before within bull cycles, and you'll see it within every bull cycle. And I don't feel that the broader factors, not least money supply, which trumps most other factors, monetary policy, I should say, which trumps most other factors most of the time, really does remain favorable. Now, there we are. The biggest concern that I had about global stock markets was the runaway commodity bull cycle, and so we've got a breather in that. What about these long-dated government bonds? Well, I think they're very vulnerable, and I also feel that they are a fuel source for equities over the medium to longer term. So I remain short, although playing it on a baby steps basis, because I think that long-dated government yields are in a ranging, bottoming out, base-building stage where there'll be a lot of choppy activity. Ditto, so you'll get the same with prices topping out as yields are bottoming out. And I wish to play it accordingly. Now, in terms of currencies, is the dollar going to maintain this break above 82 against the Japanese yen? Well, some follow-through today helped that possibility, although it's been pegged back a bit. But I think it really needs to find support at 82 or higher, really, to convince traders. And currency markets move on momentum more than most others. Although we've seen plenty of momentum trends recently, I think not least because of the very accommodative monetary policy coming from the Fed. But I do feel that if this breakout is extended, that all those people who were short dollars against the yen and extrapolating that a trend to the downside will reverse those positions. Japan can help its own cause, really, by encouraging this softer yen. Whether they will or will not do that, I don't know. But the importance of it is evident pretty well everywhere you look in Japan in terms of consolidated earnings. And Japanese companies are cut to the bone efficient these days, and therefore the yen is the last remaining factor, and one that they cannot actually control, some hedging aside. And every time the yen weakens a little bit, we see the firmer tone in the Nikkei. Incidentally, we had a good upward dynamic today in the Japanese banks index, and that's we haven't seen one of those for quite a while. So maybe there's some belief there that we were going to see a softer yen as well. And what about these commodity markets? My view is that we've seen at least a short-term peak in the precious metals, and that will spill over to similar action in the industrial metals. It's a possibility, because the gains are good, the prior gains are good, it's a possibility that we could see be seeing a medium-term peak, but probably not lasting more than a few months at most. For the sector, but that's by no means assured. I think that's the outside risk. I certainly don't think it's the end of the secular uptrend for precious metals. But some of them did accelerate higher, notably silver and palladium. An acceleration is always an ending, as we say at the chart seminar, of an unspecified duration. I would not be averse to nibbling a little bit in the sector. My only precious metal position at the moment is platinum, and I've still got all of my platinum. I was stopped out of my corn yesterday. I was stopped out of my wheat, and stopped out of my corn today. So my only remaining grain and bean complex position currently is a soybeans position, which I really should have sold yesterday. We have seen a little bit more price erosion here. I may start nibbling again lightly. But I'm waiting for some of the March contracts to be posted. I don't want to go in and buy, repurchase the December contracts just before they actually expire. Crude oil. Well, I say this is interesting, and if crude oil were to go on a bender, I'm not saying it will, if it were to do that, similar to what we saw, say, in the first half of 2008, that really would trump all other factors, including monetary policy. And monetary policy would almost certainly tighten to head off some of the inflationary implications, and that would be a mistaken decision as well, because a surge in crude oil prices, while inflationary in the short term, is deflationary in the medium to longer term. It's like a massive tax on consumption, consumption and spending by corporations. And I think that's, I think that's pretty much it here. Have a look at Owen's piece on Sasoil. I think that's quite interesting against the background of this strong, or firm, I should say, oil price. The oil sector generally had underperformed until quite recently, and so gains in the many of the shares in this industry are far less overextended. Big trading ranges, which appear capable of supporting higher prices over the medium term. And on that note, I'll say all the best to all of you.